From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia conveys the importance of strengthening multilateralism at the G77. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin invites Chinese halal business players to invest in Indonesia. Now the news in detail. In its national statement at the G77 forum, which opened in Havana, Cuba Friday, Indonesia affirmed the importance of strengthening multilateralism. The G77 is a cooperative group of UN member countries consisting of 134 developing countries with the main agenda of advancing development cooperation. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, in a statement received in Jakarta on Saturday, pointed out that the G77 must be a moral compass for solidarity and mutually beneficial partnerships.
Pertama, pentingnya memperkuat multilateralism.
The first is the importance of strengthening multilateralism. The G77 must be the moral compass of multilateralism, solidarity, and mutually beneficial partnerships. The second is to emphasize the importance of the G77 encouraging efforts to strengthen development rights for developing countries, including the right to develop downstream industries and be part of the global supply chain. Science, technology, and innovation plays a very important role. Therefore, the G77 must be able to encourage stronger access to science, technology, and innovation, or STI, for developing countries. Furthermore, Minister Marsudi said, in strengthening cooperation in science, technology, and innovation, Indonesia is ready to contribute both through the Non-Aligned Movement Center for South-South Cooperation and Indonesian Development Cooperation. The G77 summit meeting in Havana, Cuba, resulted in the Havana Declaration. It underlines a number of things, including the important role of science, technology, and innovation in achieving the SDGs and in overcoming various global challenges, highlighting the gap in access between developing and developed countries to science, technology, and innovation, as well as a commitment to strengthening southern cooperation of South-South, South-North, and triangular in the fields of science, technology, and innovation. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin on Friday invited Chinese halal business players to invest in Indonesia. He invited all business players who have expressed their desire to invest in the halal industrial sector and build industries in sectors that can meet domestic and export needs. According to him, Indonesia currently has three halal industrial areas, namely Halal Modern Valley in Serang, Halal Industrial Park in Sidoarjo, and Bintan Inti Halal Hub in Bintan. He extended the invitation in Fujian Province, China on Friday during a meeting with 10 CEOs and general managers of enterprises from Fujian, Tianjin, and Shanghai engaged in the food sector, especially fishery and marine products. As many as 24 collectible objects, including several objects related to Indonesia, were successfully purchased by invited guests at an auction held by the Ukrainian Embassy in Indonesia, Jakarta, on Friday. The auction succeeded in raising funds of 161.4 million rupiahs. The ambassador of Ukraine to Indonesia, Vasil Haminianin, pointed out that the event entitled Let Them Smile was not just a fun activity, but an activity to raise funds for children in Ukraine who were affected by the conflict in that country. Therefore, he welcomed and expressed his gratitude for the enthusiasm of the auction participants.
That's why I'm really, really grateful. Today's community, today's event is about how Indonesian people feel about Ukraine, how they feel about children that suffer. And it's about humanity. Nothing more. You don't need to be Ukrainian to help Ukrainian kids. You need to be human, sane. You don't need to be Indonesian to heal, to help Indonesian kids in need. I know many people who do this.
The auction was a collaboration with the Olena Zelenska Foundation, founded by the First Lady of Ukraine. Among the objects auctioned at the activity is a ceramic plate painting by Governor of West Java Ridwan Kabil, which sold for 10 million rupiahs, and a postage stamp from Ukraine with a picture of Indonesian national hero General Sudirman, which sold for 6.5 million rupiahs. Besides bulawa sticks typical of ancient Ukrainian leaders and ceramic eggs by Crimean Tatar artist Rustem Skibin were also successfully sold. The Indonesian New Capital City Nusantara Authority will prepare buses and bus rapid transit system as the first public transportation mode in Nusantara next year. During an online discussion on Friday, the authority's deputy for facilities and infrastructure, Sylvia Halnim, said that as the population of Nusantara grows and increases, people would later be able to switch to rail transportation. According to her, public transportation will be provided and developed in line with the increase in population. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un inspected warplanes, toured an airfield, and visited a Pacific Fleet frigate on Saturday. At the latest stop on his tour of Russia, took him to Vladivostok. As reported by CNN.com, Russian state media reported that Kim had met the Russian Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu at the Kenevichi airfield in Vladivostok before both men were accompanied by the commander-in-chief of the Russian Navy, Admiral Nikolai Evmenov, on a visit to the Pacific Fleet frigate Marshal Shepoznikov. The International Assistance Mission said on Saturday Afghanistan's Taliban authorities have detained 18 staff members of the Swiss-registered NGO, including a foreigner. The staffers were picked up from its office in Ghor province, central Afghanistan, and taken to the capital, Kabul. The group said that it doesn't have information about the nature of allegations against the staff are and therefore unable to comment or speculate about this ongoing situation. That was the end of the news. I'm Anda Trijayakasi, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Kami angkasa wanita.
The first news comes from Banyumas, Central Java. Banyumas Regency in Central Java Province hosted the City Window Series or CWS 2 Dialogue Forum held for 3 days by the Smart Green ASEAN Cities program to support green development. The program senior advisor Fakri Karim in Purwokerto Banyumas Tuesday said that this is to support green development in ASEAN cities, which is financed by the European Union and implemented through the United Nations Capital Development Fund. Currently, the program is running in 13 cities in the Association of Southeast Asian Countries or ASEAN. According to him, Banyumas is one of the regions in Indonesia that is participating in the program along with several other cities in ASEAN. And now there is one more city, namely Banyuwangi in East Java Province, Indonesia. Delegation from 13 cities throughout ASEAN came to Banyumas as part of a dialogue forum and also to see Banyumas' experience in creating a smart green city, especially in waste management. The next news comes from Surabaya, East Java. 5 students from the Mechanical and Manufacturing Engineering Study Program, Faculty of Engineering, University of Surabaya, created an innovative dressing tool for the physically disabled named Dr. Mate or Dressing Mate. The team leader, Angeline, in Surabaya on Monday said that the idea for this innovation was motivated by the difficulty of physically disabled people getting dressed, especially those who had lost both arms due to amputations. This innovation is equipped with 3 controllers, namely remote Android application and voice commands. The Android application aims to ensure that this tool can also be used by companions of the physically disabled to help from different places. Thanks to this innovation, Dr. Mate won 3rd place in the 2023 Engineering Innovation Challenge competition held by the Institution of Engineers in Singapore. This competition was attended by participants from various countries, including Singapore, the Philippines, and Australia. In the future, Dr. Mate is targeted to be able to be applied directly to quadriplegic at homes, hospitals, and rehabilitation centers. The last news comes from Siak Riau. The Siak Regency Government, Riau Province, once again held the annual ritual of appeasing evil, Khatib Beganyut, by praying together with the community on a boat to get closer to God on Monday evening. Deputy Regent of Siak Husni Berza said that this activity was carried out to maintain and preserve Khatib Beganyut, which is the 9th tradition of collective remembrance by the Siak District Government. It began with holding joint prayers, communal dinner, and opening prayers. Then there was a torchlight parade from the Sahabuddin Mosque to the port to board the ferry or boats. According to Husni Merza, this tradition has existed since the time of the Siak Kingdom and continues to be preserved until now. That was news from across Indonesia. That was news from across Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's 5 super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12. Then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared. Who knows, you become one of the winners.
We begin today in history with the event on September 16, 1975, when Papua New Guinea became independent. Papua New Guinea gained its independence without war from Australia on September 16, 1975. Papua New Guinea's official name is the Independent State Papua of Papua New Guinea. It is a country located in the eastern part of Papua Island. Besides, it shares direct land borders with the provinces in Indonesia, including the provinces of Papua, Mountainous Papua, and South Papua to the west. Australia to the south and Oceania countries to the south, east, and north. Quoting kemlu.go.id page, on September 1, 1973, Papua New Guinea obtained its own government led by the Chief Minister Michael Somare. Then on September 16, 1975, Papua New Guinea gained full independence from Australia and subsequently became a member of the Commonwealth. On October 10, 1975, Papua New Guinea was accepted into the United Nations as the 142nd member. After independence, the Chief Minister was changed to Prime Minister and a Governor General was appointed as the representative of the Queen of England. Let's move to another event in 1982 about Sabra and Shatila massacre. Sabra and Shatila massacre occurred in Beirut, Lebanon on September 16, 1982. Then the areas were occupied by Israel. This massacre was carried out by Lebanese Maronite Christian militias on Palestinian refugees in the Sabra and Shatila refugee camps. The Maronite troops were directly under the command of Eli Hobeika, who later became a member of the Lebanese parliament, and in the 1990s, it also became a minister in the Lebanese cabinet. Throughout these events, these camps were surrounded by Israeli soldiers and militias. It was sent by Israel to look for PLO members. How far Israel was culpable in the massacre is widely debated, and Israel denied that it was directly responsible. However, the findings prove that Israelis, including Ariel Sharon, were indirectly responsible. We end today in history with the event in 1987 when the Montreal Protocol was signed. The Montreal Protocol is an international treaty designed to protect the ozone layer by eliminating the production of a number of substances believed to be responsible for the depletion of the ozone layer. This treaty was open for signature on September 16, 1987, and it has been effective since January 1, 1989. Since then, this treaty has undergone 5 revisions, namely in 1990 in London, 1992 in Copenhagen, 1995 in Vienna, 1997 in Montreal, and 1999 in Beijing. As a result of this international agreement, the ozone hole in Antarctica was slowly recovering. Climate projections show that the ozone layer will return to 1980 levels between 2050 and 2070. Due to its widespread adoption and implementation, the treaty is considered a successful example of international cooperation. Former United Nations Secretary General Kofi Annan once called it possibly the most successful international agreement to date. Then September 16 is commemorated as the World Ozone Day. That's Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
September ends. Here comes the rain again, falling from the stars, drenched in my pain again, becoming who we are. As my memory rests, but never forgets what I lost. Wake me up when September ends. We'll be right back.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, the next segment is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is entitled Critical Minerals Makes Indonesia Far Ahead in the World. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto said that the IMF and World Bank assess Indonesia as an extraordinary country because along with other ASEAN countries, it could manage economic growth above 4% and keep inflation low. Erlangga Hartarto at the 2023 member conference of the Association of Indonesian Usurers in Jakarta on Thursday, September the 14th, said, when all countries concentrate on economic growth and inflation, Indonesia can actually be strong in these two aspects so that Indonesia and ASEAN, or the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, become bright spot in world economic growth. Quoting econ.go.id, amidst global conditions which are still experiencing multi-level challenges such as climate change and El Nino, Indonesia's economic growth in the second quarter of 2023 was able to grow by 5.17% year-on-year, and the inflation rate in August 2023 was at the level 3.27% or within the target of 3 or more or less 1%. Coordinating Minister Erlangga emphasized that critical minerals or mineral resources in the form of metals and non-metals have economic value, but are at risk of supply disruptions. This is being discussed by world leaders from various blocs such as the G20 and European Union. However, Indonesia ensures that with critical minerals, Indonesia will become a way ahead country or far ahead of other countries in the world. This is because critical minerals are the key to renewable energy. To maintain Indonesia's economic prospects to be better and stronger, the government has implemented various policy strategies, including the implementation of the job creation law. It includes risk-based business licensing reform, strengthening purchasing power and controlling inflation, strengthening competitiveness and industrial added value. It also empowers micro, small, and medium enterprises, encourages exports and maintains external sector resilience, increases human resource productivity, equitable development and connectivity, and international cooperation. That was My Indonesia Today.
Rasa tak lagi sama, cinta tak lagi sempurna. Kadang kehilangan arah, inginnya ku tetap pertahankan dan tetap menjalani hari demi hari. Apapun yang kau rasakan, bagaimana kau menolak rasa ini akan tetap sama.
Terima kasih.
This is Voice of Indonesia, the overseas broadcasting service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Now we present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. The highland areas in West Sumatra are known to have many unique culinary heritages. One of them is the Agam Tanah Datar 5 Pulau Koto Triangle Area, or what is also called Luhak Nan Tigo. This area is known as an area that has a rich treasury, particularly as for spice blends and food processing techniques in Minang land. One of these traditional legacies is Dadiah, which is a traditional fermented milk from the city of Bukit Tinggi. Dadiah comes from the Minang language, means thickened milk or fermented milk. Dadiah is buffalo milk that is naturally fermented in reeds or bamboo stem segments. Usually, the fermentation lasts for at least 1 to 3 full days. This fermentation process then produces a type of dense cream with a soft texture and a distinctive sour taste like yogurt. Therefore, Dadiah is also often referred to as typical Minang yogurt. The longer the fermentation period, the denser and harder the curd produced will be. During the fermentation process, the buffalo milk is only put into a bamboo container and then covered with banana leaves or waru leaves, and no lead is used to help the fermentation process. Dadiah is ready to eat when it is lumpy. Listener, to make dadiah, fresh buffalo milk must be filtered first, then immediately place in dried reeds or bamboo segments about 20 until 30 centimeters long. These bamboo segments are then covered with banana leaves or waru leaves and then stored. The process of making dadiah usually start after dawn, at the same time that the farmers start milking the buffalo. Dadiah will be served in bamboo stems where the food is fermented. In ancient times, this food was eaten as a side dish with rice and onion chili sauce. This unique combination will produce a refreshing, sour, spicy taste. Meanwhile, older people often eat it as pudding. One tube of dadiah bamboo is usually sold for around 15,000 rupiah. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. I am Ahmad Faisal.
Listener, here is Miss Eleni that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia. VOA listener, today's Miss Eleni presents information about Maumere Exploration Festival 2023 in East Nusa Tenggara. Listener, this September, there is something special from East Nusa Tenggara. Sika Regency Government, Flores, East Nusa Tenggara, is holding Maumere Exploration Festival 2023 from September 14 to the 16th. Maumere Exploration Festival 2023, as conveyed by the acting head of Sika Regency Tourism Office, Ivan Edomeko, aims to introduce Sika tourism to foreign countries. It is hoped that Maumere Exploration Festival 2023 will be able to attract the interest of society and tourists to visit and enjoy various superior tourist attractions in Sika Regency, Flores is Nusa Tenggara Province.
Pemerintah Daerah Kabupaten Sika,
Sika Regency Government through Sika Tourism and Culture Service, supported by the Development Planning Research and Development Agency, also various agencies, including Sika Regency Communication and Information Service, will hold Maumere Exploration Festival from September 14 to the 16, 2023. This festival aims to introduce, promote, and market our tourism objects in Sika Regency to the world. Just like the name, the Maumere Exploration Festival 2023 explores a number of unique and interesting superior tourism locations. The festival starts at Kota Baru Maumere Square with a cultural carnival enlivened by art studio groups from middle and high schools in Maumere. The second day, activities move to the Meang Miak Waterfall tourist attraction, Blended Hot Spring site, and the Mount Egon climbing site. Then the final day of the event is held at Tanjung Kawulu, a beach tour that offers an exotic panorama of hills and ocean. Ivan Edomeko explained, various interesting cultural activities are held in these three places.
Adapun kegiatannya antara lain,
the activities include cultural carnivals, ethnic fashion shows, exhibitions, crafts, local culinary exhibitions, and various MSMEs in Sika Regency, as well as dance performances, art performances, and various cultural attractions, which until now are almost extinct, are revitalized and elevated to art show. The regional government of Sika Regency plans to make Maumere Exploration Festival an annual tourism event to further introduce the potential and advantages of Maumere tourism destinations on the global stage. Well, listeners, that's Miss Eleni from Voice of Indonesia.
Kepada yang kuhormati di sana, ku sampaikan salam ini untuk mewakilkan rasa terima kasihku. Menyambut hariku berlagu dengan gaya nadamu. Di mana aku di sini, rindu akan nawainu. Semesta riang tersenyum merekah, lagumu bagai semangat di jiwa. Oh hatiku ini rindu, namun tak perlu kau.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared. Who knows, you become one of the winners.
You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, in today's Music Corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Genta Seruanku by Bagus Dewantoro. The song composed by Edi Wahyono in its lyrics mentions that the listeners of the song, as expected ambassadors, are able to deliver the message of the song to others. The songwriter also includes a more specific message for the artist to be enthusiastic about echoing the greatness of Indonesian arts and culture throughout the world. The song Genta Seruanku invites the listeners to keep remembering, maintaining, and preserving the diverse, beautiful, and cultural richness of the Indonesian nation. Well, here is Bagus Dewantoro with the song Genta Seruanku.
Jiwaku, ku bawakan lagu persembahan irama keroncong. Wahai insan sedih, cintai budaya sendiri, budaya dan seni peninggalan seniman dahulu, pewaris budaya. Seni ini seruanku sampaikanlah ke seluruh negeri. Tuju warna suara nan berpadu nurani bangsa.
Listener, it's time for me to sign out now. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Don't forget to check our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, VOI Indonesia, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati signing out. See you in the next English program.